Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 238 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I'm excited to bring you my chat with M. Brady Clark from Brisket Country. I've been wanting to set this up for a long time, and I'm excited that we finally got it going. This is actually kind of a part one. It's an inclusive one, so it's you don't have to watch a part two to enjoy part one. But there's so much to talk about, and he's working on so many different projects with so many different people that a part two is warranted. So there will be a part two of this. He's a graphic designer. He's worked with or is connected to some of my favorite people on the planet. And I wanted to share with you guys everything that he does. Also, if you're interested in using him, you can learn about the process with connecting with him and going over and conceptualizing your brand and your ideas. And he goes into detail on that. It's really cool, but there's a lot of backstory. He comes from Costa Mesa, Orange County, California, made his way to Georgetown. We get that whole story, and then we get the story how he got connected to Daniel Vaughn because he did an illustrated map for his book, for Daniel Vaughn's first book. There's so much to talk about, and I could go over, I could speak for 20 minutes just in this intro, but I know you're going to enjoy it. Thanks, Brady, for taking the time to do this, and if you want to get a hold of him, just go to @brisketcountry and give him a DM and go from there. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Centex Smokers. That's @CENTEX_SMOKERS. They're based out of Luling, Texas. They're a pit builder, Michael Johnson. He's been welding since he was 5 or 6, and I interviewed him back in July, and so I'll put a link to it below with all of his backstory. But he did a pit for Ronnie Killen, and then from there he followed up with one for Mo Kaysen. Gorgeous, gorgeous pit. He may be doing another one for Ronnie Killen. He's got a little backlog. He's out 4 to 5 months right now. But as things go, as people start to catch wind of what he does and seeing his product, he's going to have a big backlog. So get a hold of him, DM him. That's again, @Centex_smokers. It's worth giving him a chance. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is also brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. That's treatyoakdistilling.com. Or you can visit them at their physical location in Dripping Springs. Great people, great product, Treaty Oak Distilling. And I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to this podcast, this YouTube show, as well as all the others, as well as other projects that I'm working on. Lots of barbecue-related stuff, pit-related stuff. Go ahead and check that out. I think there'll be something interesting for you. If you're following this on YouTube, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. I'm doing 2 to 3 of these per week. But at the end, stay safe, stay sane, and visit your local barbecue spot. Take out or to go if curbside if necessary. Some people have 25-50% seating. Give them your business if you can. They need it right now. There was a huge push at the beginning to help everybody out, but they still need your help. They still need your help to stay alive. Have a good week.
Have you watched it yet?
So well done. I thought, what do you think?
No, it was great. You know, I think like the big takeaway for me is that Clay Cowgill has a great voiceover voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah.
Like,
that's true.
Like, there was like that like one like 30 second uh-huh. where he's talking. And it's like, who is that? Oh, that's Clay. It sounds amazing. It was great.
And it was a different voice than Daniel's. Like, it was like, okay. And I kept, like, I was watching it. My mom knows about all these, like, secret people that, like, in this barbecue world that I know of and talk about, but she has no idea. Yeah. And so since I'm still taking care of her, I'm like, you got to watch this one and Rodney Scott. And she started crying during the Tootsie one. She hadn't really heard a lot of that story, and I kind of would pause it and tell her, okay, well, they're gonna talk about Hershey and about that. And
yeah, I mean, there was that one point where that one quote where she said, I saw the other side of the light, that I was like, oh yeah, and I started, you know, I started crying right then. I mean, I guess the only thing is I wish they would have talked a little bit more about Clay.
I think so too. I kept waiting for that. I thought that maybe after they showed the food, I thought maybe they would give his due, because he's a hardworking guy and he's done a lot for them.
It was great. And you know, it's just weird to see, you know, to see that. And then there was like one still where she was like, it's in that back sticker wall, you know, and then there's all those stickers and it's like, oh, like, you know, there's that one, there's you know, there's Heritage, there's
like, Abe,
that's all of our friends,
is weird,
on Netflix. It's really weird
that they shared her with everyone else.
I've gone a handful of times, but like the last time we went, my friend Jeremy and I, and then my good friend Kyle, we got there, it was January.
Okay.
And so we, you know, we're in Georgetown, so it's an hour, you know, hour east.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like 35 degrees and we're like, you know what, let's go at 5 like we normally do during the summer. And so we get there at like 6:05 and it's us. Like we are the first ones there. Like without first ones. And I mean, because obviously it's freezing and you know, no one wants to get there that early. But then Mark and the crew from Convenience West were right behind us.
Oh, cool. Oh.
They showed up right after, and so then we met them, I met them, and then have since, you know, done a lot of work for them and, you know, fostered, you know, friendships. And so, like, you know, it is that it's a really cool spot. Yeah. And then, like, I say, like, if you love Texas and you love barbecue, you need to you need to go to Snow's.
Yeah. And you have to kind of see, you know, with that, the spectacle too of how many. It was interesting though, the last few times I've watched people's feeds, it looked like they're film crew, like from other country.
Well, yeah, Gordon Ramsay. I think, yeah, Gordon Ramsay was there.
And also Scott and his wife were there. You know, the little scenes, the vignettes of the people standing. Yep. That was Scott Moore and his wife. Yeah.
Oh yeah. From Tejas, right? Tejas, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's been a weird, you know, with the whole barbecue stuff, I, oddly enough, sort of, I don't know if I've told you, but like, I think I did when we had spoke on the phone last year, but like the entomology of how I got to designing barbecue. So I've been in Texas for about 15 years.
Okay.
My ex-wife and I moved here. We had a 1.5-year-old at the time, and sight unseen moved to Georgetown, Texas from Orange County.
I thought you went from Orange County first.
No. Yeah. So we moved from, I grew up in Costa Mesa.
Yeah.
So, you know, just north of San Juan and South County, like where Heritage is now. And born and raised there. And then decided to leave Orange County and to, you know, just to foster a little better life. And my marriage didn't last.
How'd you guys choose Georgetown?
Before moving to Texas, I was a menswear designer for Billabong, the surfwear company, and they're based in Irvine.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, and like one of the things was like, I live in Costa Mesa and, you know, work in Irvine, it took like 45 minutes to get home each night. And it's like, no, I'm good.
It's hell. That area there, that pocket, I've had to go from like San Diego to there, it's 4 hours.
Yeah, so we decided to get out. And so my ex-wife's, like one of her best friends had bought a house sight unseen in Georgetown, and a guy that I worked with knew a guy that worked for a synthetic turf company in Georgetown, or in Round Rock. And so they needed a graphic designer for the marketing department. Flew out, had an interview, and actually did see Georgetown and fell in love, and then moved. And I worked for this company for about a year, and then they got bought and laid off like 98% of the people.
Were you doing logos for them?
It was like marketing material. Okay. So it was, if, you know, it was the synthetic turf, like sports fields. And so they, you know, just marketing department and random marketing pamphlets and brochures and really, really high intensity design. No, not really.
There could be somebody though listening to this going or watching this going, I need that stuff from this guy, so he could do it if he had.
And I don't like to do that stuff. Full honesty. Layout. I do it, but I don't. I don't love it.
It's not sexy at all. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it is. It is design and all that. And And so then I worked for them, and then started out on my own for. Doing design, and then through a mutual acquaintance. So like I have, like right now I have like 4 full-time jobs. And so like one of my full-time jobs is still doing custom apparel for a company called Thunderwear out in San Clemente, California.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so right after I worked for that synthetic turf company in 2000, about 2007, 2008, was introduced to them, and I've worked with them. It's a husband and wife, and then 2 sons, and then myself. Small company.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And so we do custom apparel for the entertainment industry. So it's anything from not just screen printed T-shirts, but custom fleece or shorts. Button down woven shirts, like basically anything under the sun that is produced overseas.
Gotcha.
And so I get to design it here in Georgetown, Texas, and then they have factory contacts, and I design, and they fulfill, and then deliver to to anyone from, like, we have a website now, and it's been, I think, 4 months since we've had a website up. We haven't needed one.
So you've worked for them for 13 years.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a long time with anybody.
Yeah. And we've done anything from like Michael Jackson to Def Leppard to Taylor Swift. And then like video game stuff. Like we do a lot of, Overwatch and like Blizzard Entertainment. And so just random stuff.
If you're listening and don't realize how big the Blizzard and Overwatch and World of Warcraft, that whole world is huge, like crazy.
Huge. Well, and like, especially in the last couple of years, the whole esports teams and all that. We've done like jerseys for the team.
Yeah, I watched a documentary on that stuff. It's rad.
Yeah. That's my one full time job. Very fortunate to have become part of this family, literally. So they're in your neck of the woods. And then I have my own design business that I've had for about 14 years, just doing branding, merchandise design, music merchandise, posters, and all sorts of stuff. So being in Georgetown, I got to meet Chet Garner.
Okay.
From Day Tripper fame. Yeah, I call him Georgetown's, he's the people's mayor.
he really is. I think I've seen you say that.
Oh yeah, no, he's an amazing guy. Yeah, so we're, we live in Old Town, which is the neighborhood surrounding the square in Georgetown. And then he has an office now and shop on the square. And so this is, I'm trying to think when it was. So there's so many layers. I have a bacon poster. It's a simple strip. I think you've seen
it. It's on your website.
It's a strip of bacon. Yeah. And it says amen underneath. And, I had submitted it. I actually don't even remember the year, but submitted it to a public art project, and they were doing, a grain silo public art project for, I think it was 12 silos, submit the art. And then they did 12 or 20 by 80 printouts of the art that was accepted.
Okay.
And so my poster fit sort of the orientation. So I sent it off and got approved. And so for, I think it was like 5 years, there was a giant strip of bacon, on a grain silo in Omaha, Nebraska, along the highway.
Oh, it's an Omaha.
And you can Google, like if you, yeah, like if you Google like, bacon silo, Omaha,
okay,
you can see the project was called like Emerging Terrain.
I'm going to after this.
It was crazy. And then they find like years, like 5 years later, they got so dirty because of car emissions that they had to clean them. And like the cost was going to be somewhere, like they had to take them down and wash them. And it was somewhere, it's gonna be like $40,000.
Oh my gosh.
And so, the lady that ran the project was like, well, we can't afford it. So they had to take them down. I think they had done two different sets of art projects, but so making the connection to Chet,
how's that work?
Oddly enough, there was a bacon, there's a yearly Bacon Bash Texas in Cranfield's Gap, Texas, west of Waco. And he was going to be a judge in this bacon contest. And oddly enough, we were having lunch one day and he was like, you're the bacon designer. I can't make it to the Bacon Bash, Texas. Cause we won a Texas Emmy, and we have to go to Dallas. And so he's like, well, why don't you take my place? And I was like, I mean, okay, sure. Like I'd never done it. Yeah. And so then went and judged bacon and met Daniel Vaughn.
Ah.
Daniel was one of the other judges at Bacon Bash, Texas.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And I had never done a food judging before, and basically ate everything. And you don't do that.
You're
like,
not supposed to.
I was in a coma. Was in a coma after I think it's like 3 hour drive. But yeah, that's how I met Daniel. And so then we became friends, and like at the time his favorite pie was at Monument Cafe. And so he would drive from Dallas, Fort Worth down to go to Texas Monthly, or even, you know, do barbecue. I think this is before Texas Monthly, do barbecue tours and that sort of thing. And so he'd stop in,
and that's in Georgetown, you know, right? Is it still there, or is it gone?
Yeah, it is still there. Okay. Yeah. They moved to a bigger location, handful of years ago, but it's basically the same building as it was before. I don't know if you've ever...
Architecturally, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And so then we met and would meet there, and this is before his Prophet of Smoked Meat book. He was like, well, why don't you do, you can do, let's do an illustration or do a map. And he had plotted all of his places that he has gone, mm-hmm. and then documented the wood that they had used to, you know, in their pits to smoke the meat. And so we did this poster, or did the graphic, Texas graphic, that's in the book, that has all the different points, and then it also has, you know, the different woods. And so when I was doing it, I had to like look at Google Maps and then use my computer and like basically plot all these different points. So I don't know if you've probably seen the poster.
No, I've seen it. No, I hate that I didn't know that it was you, because I love that.
Yeah.
And I've seen it, and I'm kind of using it as a resource for a project that I'm working on right now, because I want to put all the different woods that are in these certain joints.
But like the funny thing is that map is so outdated now.
It's so outdated. Yes.
It's so outdated.
His book is so outdated, which is weird. Like it was at the forefront when it first came up.
Yeah, and so in that short time, I mean, it's just basically, you know, obviously exploded, and but it's weird. And I have a handful of them.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's like, should I sell them? But then it's like, well, it's outdated.
Yeah. Maybe you could do like something with like charity, or like a some kind of fun thing, or like auction, have it for an auction. For, I don't know. It's really cool. It's really cool to have.
Yeah. It was fun. And,
okay. So that's your connection to, I didn't realize that you had done
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the connection with Daniel. And so then I did that. And then through him, let's see. So then it was Daniel. And then, the only time I've had Aaron Franklin's barbecue is for his book. Daniel had, at some house in Dallas, had Aaron cater the book release party. And I believe it was maybe Wayne. I forget who all was there, but Aaron was there and had to wait, I think, 2 minutes for barbecue, and met Kelly Yandell.
Okay.
At the party.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I brought my friend Matt Shepard, and we're sitting on the steps outside, like watching all of this. And Kelly comes and sits right down next to us, and we strike up a conversation. And yeah, she's an amazing woman. And so then, like, I think it was like a year or 2 years after, we connected again. And then we started doing stuff with Foodways Texas. So then that was like the jump. And so we did the Camp Brisket and Barbecue Camp, like logos and shirts and stuff. And one of the things that I got to do, I traded design work for Camp Brisket and Barbecue Camp.
So smart.
Experience.
Smart.
My wife, right now, she has put, like, the last few years, she has put a kibosh on trading, because I now have I've since remarried in 2015, mm-hmm. and so we have two more kids, mm-hmm. So I have four total, and so she's like, yeah, you can't, no trading whatsoever anymore. But thankfully,
you actually need money, yes.
Yeah, well, yes, yeah. So we did the Foodway stuff, and I got to go,
that's
and
cool.
Lo and behold, one of the most amazing people on this planet, John Brotherton.
I was going to say, that was my guess.
Yeah. And so then John, you know, the awesome dude that he is, he, at the time, I think he was just doing the food truck. This is after the brick and mortar, and just, you know, he's doing the Hall of Flame stuff. And yeah. I had met, Kelly Gary, his business partner at, well, now at Brotherton's, but Kelly had started Black Iron Eats with Marv, the chef. And so I was like, oh, like, you're in Pflugerville? I have this client, Black Iron Eats. You guys need to hook up. Like, you guys are in Pflugerville, like, you know, go. Yeah, and so then, yeah. And so they did. And then they started getting, like, Black Iron only had like two tables. I mean, it was, let's see, I'm trying to think. Have you been to Brotherton's?
I haven't. I've talked to John like recently. A lot. Not recently, no.
Yeah. But it's like, I mean, it's a fraction of the space of what it originally was. Now they've, you know, opened both sides, yeah. But they were getting his brisket. And then, you know, one thing turned into another. And
did you do all of his?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so then, so that connection then led, so Kelly lived at the time, lived in Georgetown. And that's how I had met him, was sitting at our local pizza place, right next to each other at the counter eating pizza. And he lived right down the street. So
it's not Kelly Yandell, not Kevin Kelly, but this Kelly.
Yeah. Kelly Gary. He's the sort of the silent guy behind with John. But yeah, so yeah, I've gotten to do all of John's stuff with Black Iron Eats, and then Liberty.
All Liberty stuff.
And then also, yeah, and then also his newest, you know, the Burn-Ins stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The stuff for Burn-Ins is great. It's rad. It's really, yeah, really well done. You did a great job on that. And both
been,
you guys did.
Thank you. It's been fun because the guy, so Mikey V, who runs Mikey V's Hot Sauce, is in Georgetown.
Okay.
And so I've known him for a handful of years. He's an amazing dude. And he is a wizard at hot sauce. He's all over, like, he sells so much stuff, and like, he has a commercial kitchen here in Georgetown that I then used. I had a bagel pop up, a New York style bagel pop up for a couple of years, but I knew. And then I used Mikey V's kitchen where he makes the hot sauce for bagels on Saturday mornings. And so, you know, that's one of the great things about Georgetown and, well, Texas in general is, you know, we're all this like one big like family.
Yeah, I was going to say that this is what you've talked about just right now has shown how important it is to, you know, to make connections, not burn bridges, and not to be like, you know, yeah, just be yourself, be normal, be a good human. And you've connected, yeah, to all these people. Oh, yeah. And this is like, it's an interesting path, but it's not unlike, mm-hmm, other people. Other people have helped other people, and you have to be willing to, yeah, accept help along the way too, or the nudge to, hey, you should talk to this guy, him.
But yeah, like, you know, we were talking about just the sort of family nature, mm-hmm, of, you know, sort of one person helping another. And yeah, I mean, I think that it speaks volumes to sort of, you know, I grew up in Southern California, and, you know, as you know, there's not everyone, but there is a certain, what's the word? I don't know, self-centeredness, uh-huh, sort of aspect.
For sure.
Putting it lightly. You know, one of my like mantras has been like, for years has been, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, if you need some help, I can help you. And you know what? Then you're going to return that favor down the line.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, I think there's, I was hung out with Ben Sasani last night. Oddly enough, we went to the Liberty Barbecue,
the JQ,
JQ's pop up, and it was amazing.
And I think Sheldon Mason was there too, right?
Oh, yeah, no, we sat with him.
Small world.
I met him. Yeah, he's a great dude. Yeah, there was three of us, and then we had an extra seat, so he came and sat with us. But Ben and I were talking about that. You know, I don't need the recognition, or I don't want that recognition. Like, I'm happy to be the guy behind the guy, you know, helping someone out. And, you know, it doesn't need to be about us at all.
Yeah.
And like, cause he was talking about the fluff baker assistance that, yeah, he was doing out in Houston. And, you know,
that was spectacular.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah. Because I thought, okay,
yeah,
there are, it's still good out there. It is still good.
Yeah. And that, you know, and I bring that too to the design side of helping, you know, helping small guys out. Cause you know, it's, as we know right now in 2020, merchandising, t-shirts, hats, is almost just as important these days as the food.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes even a bigger seat when it, you know, sometimes it shouldn't, you know, and so help, thing in, I think, in barbecue specifically, as I'm sure you know, like the design quality, it needs some help.
There's a lot of guys doing stuff on their own, or their uncle's helping out or something, or a cousin, which isn't bad. It is what it is.
It's not inherently bad. You know, like with, you know, say Andrew from like Moose, like, you know, he designed his first one and it wasn't bad. He identified that, like, hey, I need to polish it up and need to, you know, he joked that he got a case of beer one night and drank the beer and designed his logo, you know, and he was like, you know, I want someone that's been doing it for a while to, you know, sort of help it. And, you know, there's, and so we, you know, we worked together and sort of, you know, came up with what we had, and, you know, that was a great sort of exercise in not necessarily going too far away from what he had, still keeping a script and that sort of thing. But
also too, when you're able to reach out to someone like you and see your brand done by a designer, someone that has the eye, it really feels good when you're like, to see what it can look like, the potential, and the marketing we all know is very important, and it's hugely important these days. And I was going to touch back on the merchandising. I think I had talked to Sawyer Lewis about how the margins are so slim these days, and the merch and the sauces and the gift card, everything is so important to keep things going. Mm-hmm. And that's, you're helping that aspect of the business.
And that, you know, with that was sort of what we were trying to do at the beginning of COVID with the Brisket Country, like, merch program, and, you know, get all that just to help out our friends, and, you know, put a little extra money in their pocket. And, like, you know, it was crazy.
Yeah.
To say the least. I mean, it was way more popular than we thought. And,
Are you still connected to Brisket Country? Is that you, or is that somebody else?
So, okay. No, that's me. It just started off as a place to dump my barbecue designs. But yeah. And it was, and then it just sort of took off from there. Yeah. And so then there used to be a screen printing shop. The two brothers that did all the Brisket Country stuff. They've since moved on and are doing, like, one of the brothers started his own embroidery company. So he's the guy, Jordan Brace, did all the stuff for, like, the Flores hats and all that. So
even the early on ones?
Yeah. So, like, Cosmic Threads is his, he did the Moose.
Okay.
One.
So Cosmic Threads, I've seen a lot of that. Okay. I've seen that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cosmic Threads TX. Yeah. And Jordan, and then his brother Ryan is doing some, other screen printing stuff. I think he's just started sort of doing that. So yeah, the Brisket Country has just become sort of
it's important to have a place for that to live. That is important.
Yeah. And so it's like, I usually do a little bit more outside of barbecue design on my business side. And so, but now, I mean, most all of the side work that I do is, you know, is barbecue.
So if someone, you know, like, I want to go over your, what you've done, and also I just want to know like how you are doing mentally right now, but, if someone's coming to you, what's the best way, and is no project too small?
Yeah.
If you want to do one thing, sticker, I guess.
Yeah, and it's been a week, you know, with COVID, it's been weird one, just schedule wise. So I have four kids. Two of them live part time with us, my wife and I, Ruth and I. And so they're two girls, 15 and 10. And then we have Gus, who's 3 and a half.
Okay.
And then we have Winnie, who is about 8 and a half months.
Okay.
And so at the beginning of COVID, my wife is a therapist and counselor by trade and works at a rehab hospital here in Georgetown.
Oh, wow.
And so she is a director there and is essential. And so the big thing was, well, crap. Okay. I have my own business. I can, you know, let's figure this out. And so up until I've been doing it probably about two times a week, but I would get up at 3:30 in the morning and then work till about 8:30 and then, be with the kids for, you know, for the day while my wife can, you know, go to work.
Wow.
And so, like, our joke is that, you know, most couples, are getting sick of each other because they're both, say, quarantined, where we're sort of two ships at sea where yeah. we're passing, and it's like, oh, I miss my wife. and so you know, we've since Gus is back at school, and then we have a babysitter that comes a couple days a week to then take care of Winnie, and she has cleft lip.
Yeah, how's she doing? So, I wanted to know how she was doing.
Yeah, so she's great. So yeah, she was born in December last year, and we found out like 3 weeks before she was due that she had cleft lip and palate. And so yeah, like that time I'd never had to deal with anything like that before, and we were super stressed. And then she came out, and she's since had the lip surgery, and we miss who she was before. Oddly enough, there's a lot of cleft parents that say that is that like, oh, like, you know, it's that thing that made her even more unique than she, you know? And so like we've heard that people get like cleft, like tattoos, like to sort of remember that site. And so, yeah, it's been really weird. So then, like,
but she seems so like the photos that you showed of her with the cleft before the surgery were. She's so dynamic. She seems so angelic. There's something special about her prior, right?
And she is amazing and very very energetic and happy and So we've had a handful of months with adjusting to that and.
Oh,
everything's great, and really, like, that's been the least of our worries, you know, whether like on the COVID side and, you know, pandemic and all that, like her and that, like, that was, it's great. And so then she hopefully will have her palate repaired next month, and so that basically she doesn't have basically a gap where the roof of her mouth should be. There's basically it's not developed. Okay. And so like her nose and her mouth are connected. And so like we have the roof of our mouth. So then
separation.
And so then, you know, if you throw up, you know, sometimes it comes out your nose, but for her it's automatic.
Gotcha. Okay.
And, but she's, but she's doing great and, gaining weight. Yeah. Everything's good to go. And so, yeah, we're thankful that she, can have her surgery next month. Just so we can be in the same year for deductible and insurance.
Okay.
Because we were freaking out that it was going to be another calendar year after her first surgery. Because let's just say that the bills are rather large. But hey, you know what? The barbecue projects are, you know, helping to pay for medical bills. And going back to the projects, like, there is no job too small. Mm-hmm. I've been lucky enough to, you know, have a steady stream of people that, you know, that need work, and I like to help out the small, like, first time, like, small business guys that don't, you know, that aren't even open yet. Mm-hmm. And so I do like just a standard package that's like you get an emblem, and then there's custom type, and then sometimes there's an icon that goes with that, and then we do like an idea sheet, and I just put a bunch of stuff up. We talk through. I give each client like 20 questions, and then it's random questions like, if your brand was a car, what kind of car would it be? If you had a, it helps business, you know, like if you're new to the, say, a business idea, it just helps you think through stuff that, you know, that you probably hadn't thought through, like on color or like rigidness. Like, are you, do you like hard lines or do you like curves?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so then basically I take that and we go back and forth on some visual imagery, and then I just design, and then we go back and forth on the process. And I feel like a broken record. It's a, you know, it's a funnel process. You get from a lot to a little. And then one of my things is anything that we design, through that process, whether it's like a small icon that they like that we can use on merchandise or on a menu, like they can have, like, I don't upsell or upcharge depending on, you know, like, oh, you like a piece here? Well, that's going to be an extra $600. Like, yeah. You know what? We already did it, and, you know, it's, and it helps them. And obviously, you know, my goal is to, for a client to have something that they absolutely love. And then in turn, they're going to recommend me, and we're going to continue to do work. And then, you know, then they're going to tell people, and that's, yeah, yeah. You know, it's sort of the organic process that it seems to work, you know, seems to work thus far. I joke that the barbecue community, they talk like high schoolers.
If you do good work, they talk.
You know, it's that sort of thing. Like, obviously, you know, I've been lucky enough to do this for a while. And so, like, I tell people, like, you know what, it takes me a little bit less than some of the other people, other designers. So, you know what, I can charge a little bit less. And like the scale, like sliding, it's a sliding scale, you know, depending on timing, if it is like, you know, illustration based, that sort of thing. And so I've, you know, like you said, like with, you know, Heritage, Danny.
Like with Heritage, like you did almost all their branding, right? You did all the branding.
Yeah, like showed something. And I was like, hey, if you ever need, you know, any help, just let me know. And so then we started talking, and being that, you know, he's in Orange County and I was born and raised, yeah. Like it was fun to, you know, to connect and help him. And it's been really cool to see them, you know, open now and sort of represent Texas barbecue and sort of hospitality wise, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's a really big deal. It's something that we didn't have, especially Orange County. But it's funny too, I wanted to say that, you know, everyone that I've mentioned that I was talking to you, like I mentioned that I was talking to Jill, and she's like, oh
yeah,
Brady's such a nice guy. Like, it's Jill does the PR for Heritage, and this is funny.
Yeah, well, and I've never met her. we've never met in person, you know. And I mean that's 2020 for you.
And I've never met her in person, but we text.
Well, and then we've never met either. It's always weird to we've had this relationship. Uh-huh. And you know, now we get to, I've actually met Danny and his lovely wife at Brotherton's, oddly enough.
That's great. No, but it's also funny too. Yeah. Like, I don't wear, when I'm out and about, I wear these for reading, and so I can see. So I'll see people, like I'll see Sam Jones, I've seen Pat Mark, I've seen people, and they don't know who I am. Yeah. They have no idea who I am. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. Then, yeah. Okay, that's the guy that I spent an hour talking to that one time.
You know, with Brotherton, like that spawned, I mean, you know, doing basically, I get, I don't know if anybody knows, or a lot of people know, but like I do, like I get to help Jess Pryles out with all of her hardcore carnivore stuff. And she's become like a great friend, you know, and client, a friend above client. Yeah. And it's been, you know, that I'm super grateful for her.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
And just, you know, and we're, you know, when we talk daily and do work, like we're, you know, working on a handful of stuff right now, like specifically like weird French translations so that she can get Hardcore Carnivore into Canada.
Wow, that's cool.
So, yeah, you know, random.
And like you said, like with Flores, like when I talked to Michael at Flores Tortillas, he said, like, I got a bunch of stuff from Brady, and I'm like, I can't, because we mentioned, because you did all the logos and everything, and then all of his new merch, but then also there's other ideas. He's like, I've got all these other ideas that Brady has too.
Yeah, and so like we had, when he was still up north doing the barbecue, I did, you know, design exercise for him on all of the, like, based on barbecue. So it was Flores barbecue. And so thankfully we were able to basically pivot that into tortillas, and man, those tortillas are amazing.
I ordered some last week.
Yeah. I got to have some a while back, and then at Brett's birthday.
Oh yeah.
Brett's backyard, Michael was cooking them right there. And there's not a better tortilla. Yeah. It's amazing. But yeah. And so, yeah. But then Michael like hit me up after the fact, you know, when he was starting the tortilla stuff, and, you know, we've gotten to do the hats and, you know, the shirts and stuff, and we're working on some other top secret stuff.
You don't want to drop it here?
No, I can't. No, I'm not. I can't do that yet. No, I have an NDA right here. That's fine.
Well, of course.
No, not really.
So let's kind of go over all, like, so, but what people would know, the greatest hits from Brady.
Oh, the greatest hits.
We've talked a lot of pretty damn good hits so far.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, the Brotherton stuff is, you know, is probably close, is up there, just because, you know, like I said, like he's one of the greatest guys out there. And, you know, I think so Texas and the barbecue worldwide because of that guy, you know, he is sort of that ambassador of goodwill. And but yeah, Convenience West and Koi, I think, have been.
Oh, yeah, the Koi stuff looks great.
Convenience West, Koi have been, those were probably close to the top because, well, all my clients are right at the top.
Things that we haven't spoken about yet.
And the cool thing about those was, like, with Koi specifically, he didn't want it to be branded like a barbecue joint. And it was more an apparel brand apart from barbecue.
That's cool.
And so that he theoretically, and like he's starting to do, is create an apparel side and then a barbecue side.
Smart.
And when there's a brick and mortar, then, you know, he will utilize that merchandise. Yeah. Like, he gets it. He's another level on the valuing merchandise. And but then Convenience West, like, that was a fun one too, because it's sort of like a band, like not like barbecue, but you know, like Mark and all those guys out there. It's sort of like a band, like a music band.
Is it because of where they are?
Maybe that's how I sort of tell myself, because it's not necessary, like. You know, I've done band stuff before, and it transcends barbecue, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe that's because of where their location is. And I still haven't, that's one of my goals, is to go out and have barbecue out there.
Mine too.
I've only been in Marfa for about 12 hours, a handful of years ago. I mean, there's all sorts. I mean, I've gotten to do, you know, a lot of the new stuff is food trucks. Like, there's, Jeff Nordstrom, with Limelight, he's opening up like a food truck or just like a mobile thing catering in Phoenix. And then there's another guy, Dane in Florida, that's doing barbecue. And then, like, I just had a call with, like, it's not a client yet, but like in Huntsville, Alabama.
How great is that? That's great.
It's and I told, his name is Brad Johnson, and I told him, like, I was telling someone, like, I might get to add another state to the client roster. But, like, and then, like, Hoodoo Brown was Cody? One of my first ones. Yeah, and man, those guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Cody is so cool, and we've actually met and shared Louis Miller barbecue
together.
Oh, that's
so cool.
You know, and those guys are, you know, are amazing. And, you know, all the people out in Houston, like with Ben and his wife, and like the stacked cookies and barbecue confessional, and then helping out Fegis. Yeah,
it's all, you haven't named any bad people. Like, these are all such a great, unique, interesting, kind humans.
Yeah.
It's such a, hopefully, like, I would hope that someone that's not, like, super addicted to barbecue listens to this or hears this, because the people, it's not just like these crazy people about barbecue. It's just, barbecue is a facet of their life, but they're also, you know, creatives, and they're interesting.
Yeah.
And they're, you know.
Oh yeah. I mean, and all the story, I mean, just the stories.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Fegis, you know, their story is amazing.
Uh-huh.
And you can't help but want to help them,
especially
now. But yeah, and then, like, there's a guy named Ryan Hildebrand out in Houston that just moved to Wimberley. And, like, he's going to open up. We're in the beginning phases of branding for a brick and mortar in Wimberley. And he's a classically trained chef.
Oh, that's so
good. Gonna do, you know, his wife's family was from Wimberley, and they've since moved there with their kids and starting a new, like, there's all these crazy stories that are amazing in and of itself, apart from any sort of barbecue or, you know, or art and design. And
that's why I'm doing these. Like, these are, it's like, I love the food. I really do love the food, but it's like the people that count. And
and
I want people to know that there's more to, like, it's like the story we were talking about with Chef's Table with Tootsie. It's like, I think people will look at Snow's differently now that they've seen that. And I think it's important.
Yeah.
That I want people also to know that you're a human, that you're not just like this marketing company that exists. Like,
it's you with a
bandana around your chin.
Yeah. My double layered COVID mask. No, like, you know, I am a human, and this COVID thing has, you know, has sucked.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the, you know, the timing and schedule and, you know, just, you know, the uncertainty.
Yeah.
Like, and then I have, so the other, I mean, we could talk for hours.
The bagel thing going to happen, or is that just a pop-up-y thing, or what is it?
Yeah, so we've yeah, we can let's talk again. I mean, so then there's the bagels, and then I opened up a restaurant with a group of friends right on the square in Georgetown.
What's that called again?
It's called the Golden Rule.
Golden Rule. I had seen it pop up, and then I followed it last night along with the bagel thing, because I'm like, damn, I'm not following this. I want to know what's going
on. Well, and so we've been under the, we've only been open for about 2 months, and but it was an 18-month process. Like December 4th of 2018, and then construction all the way through. And so I was lucky enough to sort of lead the creative on that, and never done restaurant design. My dad he's been in the restaurant business for about 50 years.
Oh, wow.
On the R&D side. So we could talk about him for another 45 minutes.
Maybe we should do a part two or something. I think this gives people a taste of what you're about. What's the best ways to get a hold of you? What do you want people to know? Which social media?
So you can, Brisket Country obviously is the place where most people find, the barbecue related stuff. Then we're working on, I'm working on getting, so the website's been down, but they can hit me up through the messaging, and I'm terrible at remembering those messages that people put on Instagram. I don't know about you, but I someone will message me and they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm so sorry.
It's hard to keep track of that.
Oh my gosh, dude. And so yeah, just they can find me through Brisket Country, and then just hit me up. And yeah, like I said, no projects too small. I'm pretty booked at the moment, but doing a lot of small stuff, which is great.
Yeah.
Always looking to, add to the roster. So to speak.
But you're not like Sonny Moberg. You're not out 2 years, right? Your lead times aren't 2 years, 3 years.
No, I would say like right now. No. I mean, no.
Say I came to you, would you say like 3 months out? Are you kind of like a 2 to 3 months?
Oh, I would say less than that.
Okay.
And with life sort of trying to get back to normal, I think that, that time I'm about a few weeks out, I think. I have a handful of projects that I'm working on right now that I'm in like the initial design sort of phase to then present to the clients. And so, but yeah, I mean, I'm always open to, meeting new people. And
What's the M?
Matthew.
Matthew.
Yep. My mother has never called me Matthew in my life. And so I tried to find, when I started doing design, I wanted BradyClark.com, and it was taken by actually another graphic designer.
Oh, that's weird.
And so then I'll throw an M in the front of it. And so M Brady Clark, and all my friends, they joke about the M being, being in front. It sounds way too sort of sophisticated.
It does sound sophisticated.
Yeah. M. Brady Clark is a good friend out in California, Rob Reddick. he always jokes.
M is silent.
Yeah. Matthew Brady, the famous Civil War photographer. That's who my mother, who was from West Virginia, named me after.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, there's no family connection, but
that's why I'm doing these. Actually, I'm not going to include any of the interview, just that. Everyone needs to know that part. Cool. Thank you so much.
Yep.
And let's do a part two.
Yeah, no, that's great.
All right. Have a great day. Nice talking
Thanks,
to you.
Thanks, buddy.
Good to see you.
Appreciate you.
All right. You Take too. Care.